Okay, we're picking up with the Gemara on your base and your base. We're three lines from the bottom with the words of Amar Rev Yehuda. So the Gemara is continuing discussion with different types of schach, whether or not they're kosher or not. Amar Rev Yehuda says, Hane shushe v'shavture misachin behudet. Let it use the type of, Rashi says different, quotes different perush and what exactly this is, but basically, two different types of herbs, you're allowed to use them for schach. And normally we know that Rashi says that anything that's mekabel tumah is going to be puzzle for the usage of schach. So here, isn't this also a problem of something that should be mekabel tumah and be puzzle? So Rashi explains that they're not mekabel tumah because people don't eat them. They're not maichal adam. They're not food that people generally would eat. So since it's not considered maichal adam, it's not a psul of schach. It says that Gemara, now Abaye disagrees. Then when it comes to the first type of herbs, then you can use them for schach. But the other types of herbs, you cannot use them for schach. Why? Because my taima, the second set of herbs, came on turning on the next time. Now, desari rechayu, they smell very bad. Shavik lei v'nafik. Shavik lehum. Shavik lei v'nafik. The person's going to leave the sukkah because it smells very bad, and therefore, you would not be allowed to use them. There's a big shaila in the Rishonim over here, is that Midera Banan and Midera Reisa. So seemingly from the Rush and the Rambam, they both seem to understand that this is only Dera Banan, and the Rambam seems to take it further, that even if you've done this, and you had not, meaning you had used the schach, of the version of Abaye says not to use is only lechatchila, and if it's only initially, if I accidentally used it, that would be kosher b'diavad. However, from the Ritva and the Ran, they seem to understand that even midirabanan it's ma'akev derabanan, that you're not yotze at all, you're sukkah midirabanan, and you would have to go ahead and replace it even if I use them before sukkahs. So now there's just one more ha'ara from the Prima Gunim. He points out, but if there's such a foul-smelling odor that you would never want to be there, then he says, midereisa l'chor, it's not going to be considered your house. You never wouldn't stay in a house like that smells so terrible, most likely. And maybe for someone who wouldn't, it wouldn't be as much of a shaila. But if you're someone who normally would not stay in such a smelly place, then he thinks maybe it's a psul midereisa of teishu kinka teradura, that you're not living in the sukkah, and that would be a real problem. Okay, that's the ruling with regards to these different type of herbs. Says the Gemara, similar halacha. Amar Rav Chana bar Rava, hane hizmi v'hegne misachin behu. Brambles and thorn bushes, you're allowed to use them for schach. Abaye said, v'hizmi misachin behagila misachin. Similar thing, you made a chilek. Brambles, you can use them for schach. However, thorn bushes, you cannot use them for schach. My time, what's the reasoning that he makes the chiluk? Kevan and natri turpayu, since their leaves will fall off into the sukkah, shavik levanafik, he's going to leave the sukkah because it's annoying that they keep falling off, and therefore you should not use them for your schach. So this applies seemingly only when the leaves are falling pretty frequently. If they fall infrequently, only when the wind is blowing or something like that, then the Magen Avraham already points out, quoting from the Bach, that would be kosher in that circumstance. Because end of the day, it's not tremendous, it's not very bothersome for you. You would stay in such a place, so it's not so bad. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Amar Rav Gidol Marav, Rav Gidol said to the Marav, Hi Apukta the Dikla B'Sachin Behu. Someone is allowed to use the type of offshoots of a day palm for schach. Ava Gavda Gide. Even though they are, you put them together, you tie them together, it's still not going to be an issue. Why not? Because Avagav de Hadar Agidlu, Avagav de Agide, Eged Bide Shemayim Lashme Eged, because they're naturally tied together. That over here, the Mishnah is telling us that when it comes to the normal case of bundles, the Mishnah told us is Midir Abanan is a problem because a person might use it. But when it comes to something that's, you don't have the Gzera Sa'otzer, you don't have the Gzera of something that's for the storage house, for something that was made that is tied up naturally. Since it's tied up naturally, it's not a problem. Avagav de Agidlu, Agid Shemayim Lashme Eged, that's what we just mentioned, that it's not an issue. By definition, it's separate objects that you're bounding together into one unit. Something that was not made by that is not a problem. So this is where Amar Chistam Ravina Barshila Hane Dukre Dekane Mesachim Behu. Someone has stalks of a cane plant, you're allowed to use it for schach. Hafagav Dagide Ninu. Even though these stalks are tied together at the bottom, Eged Bideshemayim Lashmeged. So when Alacha that something made Bishemayim, that it's not formed by humans, so then it's not an issue. Afagav de Hadar Agidlehu, even though someone's going to bind these stalks later, it's still not going to be considered together. Igir Bechad Lashme Eger, because binding a single object is not considered actual binding it together and tying it together. Says the Gemara Tanan Abihachi, Kanim Ador Kanim Esach. Similarly, we say that someone's allowed to use the cane stalks and the poles as Schach. This is a Melacha, two different things, the Kanim and the Dukranim. Okay. So the Gemara says, well, Kanim is Pshita, the canes, the reeds, obviously you ought to use them. Why do you have to mention them? Lechor, they're not Makabot Tumah, and they grow from the ground. So why would you have a mina that they should be puzzled? So the Gemara says, no, Ema Kanim, Shelder Kanim Sachem, that the cane plants from the stalks you ought to use them as Schach, and that, is apparently more of a chiddush. Now the Gemara continues. The Gemara says, "Ve'amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina Bar Shila, Hane Marir Sir De Agma Adam Yotzei Ben Yavas De Chavas Al Pesach." So, if you have this, if this type of maror from a swamp area, from that area, that's going to be kosher. Now, normally, first of all, the chiyuv of maror we know is bizman as a derabanan. The raisa it's to eat al matzos and morim yochlu, to eat it with the korban pesach. So, if we don't have the korban pesach, it's only derabanan. We're talking about the chiyuv. How does the chiyuv of maror play out? So, Mishnah tells us there's five different categories of maror, and Rav Chista is telling us that the chiddush over here is that using this mar that's from an area of the swamps, that's going to be an acceptable form of mar. Rashi seems to understand that it's part of the chazeres, that it's a type of chazeres, it's a type of the first in the list. We know that that order that's mentioned over there, we call it lettuce, that would be the order of what's most lechachila to least lechachila. So the Gemara says that would be kasher for maror, and the Gemara says meisive, but is that really true? We have a question. The Mishnah tells us ezov velo ezov yavan, and when the Torah tells us that you have a chiyuv to use ezov, you have to use what's called the general standard ezov and not the Greek ezov. I mentioned in, I think it was yesterday's daf already, that I didn't really know what hyssop was, so I wanted to give a shout-out now to Gary Green. He responded. He said, in email, he says, FYI, hyssop is a plant of the oregano family and is a ingredient in za'atar. So now I know a little bit more clearly what is hyssop. It's defined as hyssop. I said, I don't know what hyssop is. So that's he helped me out over here. It's from the oregano family, and it is an ingredient that's similar to something that in za'atar that we find. So that's similar to what is azov. Now I have a more of an understanding practically. Just thank you, Sharkov, for doing that. So when it comes to azov, you can only use a standard azov, not what we would call a Greek azov, a lo azov kochle, or a blue azov, or lo azov midbar, an azov from the desert, velo azov romi, and not a Roman azov, velo azov sheish lo shem levai, not azov that has any other modifying name. So now the Gemara is assuming that by the same halachas, the lechora, we should assume that with the same thing when it comes to maror and pesach, we should only say that it means maror and not maror that is coming from the agma, from the swamps area. So lechora, that's a different type of maror. Rabbi Kiv Iker has a bomb question. He says, "What do you mean when it comes to maror? The Mishnah told us five different types of maror, and none of them have the same name. So here, if this thing sounds like it's part of the name of maror of the chazaris, great. But the fact that it's a different name clearly can't be an issue. The Mishnah itself says five different things that are going to be different vegetables that are kosher for maror. So how could it be that this is any worse than that? Okay, that's a very big question. I'm not sure how to answer that question for Rabbi Kiv Iker. So the Gemara says, I'm not biased either way. So the Gemara says, how are we going to answer this? That at this point, the Gemara was assuming that you should be puzzled when you have the maror from the agma. So the Gemara says, kol shenisna shemo kodem matan Torah. Any type of item which is was going to be defined before Matan Torah, before Hashem gave us the Torah, Vasa Torah Bekpida Aleha, and the Torah comes along, Hashem comes along and is specific about what its name is, mentioning only the name that we know of with that specific thing that we're talking about, Biyadua Sheyesh Lo Shem Levi, then it must be that there was another name that's going to be puzzled. It's clear that any type of name that's going to be mentioned that's not the exact name the Torah is giving us, then it's something that's clearly going to be puzzled. So in the case of Ezov, there's many different types of defining words for Ezov, and apparently the Torah only tells us Ezov all the time, that's telling us only the regular Ezov is mutter and not anything else. The names of the Mara of the Agma that comes from the swamp area is not going to be considered something that was defined before Matan Torah, and therefore they were known simply as Mara. Therefore, the fact that you're using them is not going to be excluded in this part of the halacha with regards to the halacha of Mara. So the Gemara says, Rava Mara Hane Marir Sustama Shmayu. The names of these herbs are, no, they're just called Mara. Vaidakar Le Marir Sadagma, so why did Chissa define them as maror from the swamps? Mishum the mishtach of agma, because they're found in the swamps. That's why I called them that. But seemingly, it's not a different halachic separate name. It's not a different, like the blue azov. It's not defining it differently. Here it's just telling you where it was from. There maybe categorically look different, and therefore it should be something that's going to be fundamentally different. So the Gemara continues. The Gemara now says, different things that are going to be bound together. Amar of Chista, Iged Bechad Lo Shmei Eged. And when someone is binding something in a single object, that's not considered a bundle. So that with regards to a bundle, that's going to be puzzle for Schach, or with the Lachas of Ezov, those are going to be that Ezov Lachas of Ezov we're going to see actually has to be in a bundle. Here, it's not going to be puzzle. So if you do it with one. Shalosh may eged. When you do it with three people, that's considered a bandol. Shnai machlokas Rabbi Yossi v'Rabbanan, and two is going to machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan. The standards we learn in the Mishnah mitzvah ezel shlosha klachim. You have a mitzvah of ezel is to sprinkle the water and the paraduma with three different klachim, two different sprigs. Uvahen shlosha givolin, in which there are three stems, each one from coming out from each of the sprigs. So the Gemara says. Rabbi Yossi says, Omer mitzvah ezov shlosha givul. And Rabbi Yossi says that the mitzvah of ezov is take three stems, and then usherov shnayim, and then its remainders are going to have two, meaning that if one of the stems is going to fall out, the bundle is going to still be kosher. Ugarma of kolshu, and if you have the stubs, that's going to be any amount. So the Gemara says, according to Rav Chista, the two opinions in the Mishnah are going to be whether you need to actually understand whether or not two things together is going to be considered a bundle or not. So the Gemara says, Kasalgadaitin, so we originally thought that according to Rav Chista, Medishar Shnaim, since Rabbi Yossi holds that the remainders of the bundles are going to be kosher if there's two, Tchilas is not Mishnaim, so Lecha Tchila, he's going to require that you need two in the beginning as well. You have to make a bundle if there's two, it's going to be kosher. So why would Rabbi Yossi require an extra one? Then why does he require three? So Gemara says it must be a mitzvah. It must be that's an extra mitzvah. It's not a chiyuv, but it's something that's recommended because meaning, according to Biosi, there's a requirement to use three stems to Ezel, but if you forgot, then it's going to be only Lechachila, not Pediyeva, not after the fact. So the Gemara says, if that's the case, then there's Machlokas in this price. So the Medir Biosi, Shloshal Mitzvah, Biosi holds that there's three stems required for the Mitzvah, the Rabbanan, Shloshal Akiv, then if the Rabbanan are arguing on that, and seemingly the Tanakhama, we're assuming, is the opinion of the Rabbanan, then they're going to hold that three is not just Lechachila, like initially, Bidyev if he did is okay, but it must be, since there's Machlokas over here, and the Machlokas must be on something, then it must be even Bidyev. It's part and parcel of the mitzvah. If you don't do a three, that's not considered an eged. So therefore, if Chist is understanding, Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan are arguing, when you have two, is that considered a bundle? He meant to say Rabbi Yossi holds that two Bidyev will be kosher, Rabbanan holds that two Bidyev is not kosher. So the Gemara says, Vatanya, but the Gemara has a question on this. Didn't we learn in the Braisa, Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Yossi Omer Ezov, Shtchasov Shnaim. And Ezov, who has two stems, a share of Echad. And you have one remaining stem, meaning it lost two out of the three stems, only one left. Puzzle, it's going to be puzzle. Veino kasher hachi yetchilasa shlosha. It's only going to be kasher if there's three in the beginning. Ushiyarav shnayim. And it remains with at least two stems. It's clear for the Braisa that Rabbi Yossi, we don't have another opinion, so the Chor has to be, they were talking about Rabbi Yossi over here. It must be that Rabbi Yossi is understanding that three stems is not just lechachila initially, but it's something that's even ma'ake v'diavid. So the Gemara says, sorry. We see explicitly in the braces it's Rabbi Yossi Omer, so that's how we know it's Rabbi Yossi. It says explicitly, we're recording the sheet of Rabbi Yossi, and it's Ma'akev, even Bidyevin. So the Gemara says, you're right. Ipuch, in fact, we have to flip around the sheetas and explanation and say that Rabbi Yossi, Shlosh La'akev, Rabbi Yossi is going to hold, based on this price, that three is going to be Ma'akev, that if you don't have three, then you're going to be puzzled even Bidyevin, even after the fact. Rabbanon Shlosh La'mitzvah, that according to Rabbanon, three are only Lechachila, they're a mitzvah, you should do it, but if you didn't, even Bidyevin, it's going to be kosher. A fascinating thing just in this whole topic, the Ture Evan discusses when it comes to the Isra of Losis Godudu. So he discusses that an aguda and an egged, he compares it to the egged over here, he compares it to halachas, it's fascinating halacha. When it comes to Losis Godudu, it's like a potential example is machokas, but if you're davening different nusach, and like I want to do the vidus, the quinter of Moshe, let's say, there's a problem of me clapping my head in front of while everybody's doing tachan, and let's say going on the, doing the filas apayim and bowing down on their arms, because that's a Losis Godudu, I'm doing a different minhag. Rosh Hashanah was already makel, because Rosh Hashanah said, if it's a cholam pot of minhagim anyway nowadays, in Europe, that may have been the case where there was one shul, and everybody lived there, davening the same exact nusach, and had the same exact thing for 500 years, then you coming doing something different. But nowadays, you daven in Shtibla Chedushalayim, you have 15 different people davening 15 different Nuschaos from where they were in Europe, so or in Sfarad, or in Spain, or Morocco, or wherever else they were in. So clearly, there's different Menhagim. But let's go through Moshe that there's an issue of Losis Godudu. So according to the Ture Evan, the issue of Losis Godudu only applies when you have three people doing it. If only one person is doing it, it's not a problem, because we see over here that an Eged is only called when you have an Eged, which is a bundle, there's only three things together. Seemingly, he wants to compare the same halacha. It's a fascinating thing to wild having, you know? I'm not sure if we accepted it. I don't think we did, but the Maisa, he assumes maybe we should say the same thing with when it closes the goat, it is only with three people, just like we see that in the Aguda over here is only three stems together. A fascinating comparison, because the Lashon of Eged comes up, but Lechora, they're different halachas. They're different. If you're doing something different, even as an individual, Lechora should still be a problem. But a fascinating comparison nonetheless. So Gemara says, anyway, so we said now, we had the opinions of Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, and the Gemara now, normally Vatanya is a question word, But here it's actually being used as a proof. So the Gemara says, "Tanya, we learn Beharet Tanya, meaning and behold, we learn in the Braisa, so this is a proof. Yes, we learn in the Braisa. Ezo Shtichas is going to be a longer proof. Shtichas Shnayim. If you have with the Ezo, you're starting off with two stems, Usherav Echad, and you have only a remainder of one stem. Kasher, that's going to be Kasher. Ve'ena Pasal Hachi Shtichas Usherav Echad. It's only going to be Pasal unless it's the only time it's going to be Pasal is if when you have it." That's one stem from the beginning. So the Gemara says, Shiar of Echad Pasal. Basically telling that his remainder is one, it's going to be Pasal. Hamart Shiar of Echad Kasher. But wait a second. He said if it started off with three, and it turned into one, it would be Kasher. So what's the case over here? So the Gemara says, Ela'ema, Achtet Chosok Shiar of Echad. It's telling us that it's not going to be Pasal unless it, at the very beginning, it only had one. It only had one stem in the very beginning. So therefore, that's telling us that if one formed a bundle out of the amount that'd be acceptable at the very beginning, and with only one, that would be a major problem. So the Gemara says that the price over here cannot be the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi says you need three, Leikuva. Since the price is telling us that the bundle is just with two is going to be kasher b'dieved, we have to understand, or that this is the Rabbanan, that three stems of Ezov are going to be lechatchila, and initially, and you should try to do it. However, if you can't, lemitzvah, meaning you should try to do it. However, if you didn't, then it's still going to be kasher b'dieved. So the Gemara now discusses different things about making a bundle. Darash marmimer. Hane asirusa de sura mesachim behu. Someone uses these bundles of sura as chach, it's going to be kasher. Afagav de agdan, even though you bound them, I mean, you're not bound behu de agdan. You're only bounding them to sell them. So since they're not going to be, Rashi points out, they're not going to be stored in bundles, so therefore it was not going to be a problem. Rashi just points out what exactly is the case over here, that apparently in sura they used to sell sticks in bundles in a certain quantity, a certain amount. Once they brought them home, the purchaser would then untie them. So therefore, you could place these bundles on top of a sukkah and serve a schach, because there's no concern this will lead to using schach of a original place for storage, because it's a different thing over here. Everyone knows that you're eventually going to untie them at some point, meaning, and therefore it's not the gzera of otzer, it does not apply to them. So where's Abba Baba Hanet Sarifid Durabanan? If you have huts made of willow branches, then a nice picture would help also, like a circle type of hut with a wrapping on the top. So, Kevan Shehutra Roshe Badadim Shalem, once their upper knots are going to be undone, Kshir, and they're going to be kosher for Schach. That once the binding holds together the upper parts, the branches are untied, they're going to be allowed to be used for Schach. So, Gemara asks, though, of Aigudim Esasai. Wait a second, they're still tied below. If you look at the picture, it can be helpful. You have the binder on the bottom is still going to be lechoras, still be a problem. So the Gemara says, no, Amar Papa, Disharilu. We're talking about a case where you untied the rope on the bottom as well. And Chanamid, if you did it on top, if you left it there, would be a problem. So the Gemara says, no. We could give another answer. Avuna, Breder Vishu Amar, Afilu Tema Adelo Sharilu. You can say that even where you didn't undo them, so still, the bundle is still going to be kosher. Why? Kol eged she'eno asu l'talt lo shmei eged. Any bundle that is not made in a manner that allows it to be carried is not going to be considered a bundle, and therefore, it's going to be kosher for schach. Okay, so the Gemara now discusses more things about schach. Amar Rabbi Abraham Shmuel, Yirakol shamu chacham adem yotzev nukavasa v'pesach. These vegetables, a person can be fulfills obligation with Marar on Pesach, with Venus a Tumah, since they're going to be a problem of Ochel, so they're going to cause Tumah, that if you use the item, what does it mean, Mevenus a Tumah? We discussed, if you have a Tefach thick item, so if something is under it, it can have a lach of Ochel. So if you use if you have a Tefach thick item of any of these foods, it would bring upon, so if you have two foods under this Tefach food of these Yirakos, then it would bring the Tumah into both objects that it's under. However, they do not act as a chatzita between the Tumah. This is a very big problematic halacha. What do you mean? By definition, if it's something that can create the Tumah, so then it's something that by definition it has a chaloshem ohel and a roof, and therefore it should be something that's chotzes b'fnei Tumah. And if it's not, then it shouldn't be maybe the Tumah either. So how is it that we're playing both ends of this halacha over here? The Rishonim are bothered by this halacha very much. So there's different discussions about it. The Meiri has this approach that really midaraisa, the vegetables, while they're considered wet, so then and they're moist, then they're going to be considered a gag in every halacha. However, once they're dried up, these vegetables are they're very bad quality, so then they're going to crumble up and fall. Therefore, when they dry, they're not going to be considered a halachic ohel either, even before they crumble. That's different. All the Rishonim discuss this. This is a question that is bothersome. So either way, the Gemara says, "Posen b'sukkah mashum avir." So they're chutz b'nei atuma. So they're posen b'sukkah mashum avir, and they're going to pass the sukkah with regards to open space. What do we discuss? Normally, if you have a three type of gap in a roof, that's a problem. However, if you have pasul schach, it's also a problem. But when it comes to pasul schach, that the difference is that you get four tvachim of pasul schach in the middle of a sukkah, or four amos along the sides of the sukkah, that would pasul it. So it's more chamor when you have empty space versus when you have pasul schach. So it would seem that when it comes to the vegetables, that they're considered pasul schach. So Shmuel is teaching us a chiddush that no, that that's not the case. Rather, we're telling you that the three tefachim with regards to the vegetables, they're going to be considered pasul schach. They're not going to be considered pasul schach. Rather, they're going to be worse. They're going to be considered empty space. And therefore, we're machmir to assume that you even have three tefachim. So where's the why? My time. What should be the reasoning that they do not act as a chatzitza and they're pasul and like open thin air with regards to hilchos sukkah? So the Gemara says, what's the reasoning? Because when they all dry, they will crumble and fall down and not be an oval anymore. Kiman to list them even already now. Consider they're not here. Again, that's our question. So then why should they be maybe at the tumah eventually to fall down? Apparently that is enough to assume that it's still maybe the tumah. That's what's bothering the Rishonim over here. Fine. That is the halacha of Rav Huna. So now the Gemara continues. V'amar Rabbi Amar Rav Huna. Now the halacha in the name of Rabbi Huna. It's going to eventually come back to schach, but in the beginning it's not. A botzer legat, someone who is harvesting grapes for the purpose of squeezing them in your wine press. Ain lo yad, it's not a lach of a yad. There's only a lach of a yad and a shomer with regards to tumah vitara. We're not going to get discussed if shomer right now because the main halach is right here is yad. Yad is something that's literally a handle of a food. That, for example, stem is a good. That's what we're discussing here. A stem of a food is considered a yad of a food. So the normal halach of a yad is that when you touch the yad, it's also going to vitame the food as well. And when you touch the food, it will also vitame the yad. So Rabbi Abba is teaching us over here that when the grapes are harvested for the purpose of being pressed, their stems are not going to be considered a yad because you don't want it there. You don't want it there at all. So therefore, you'd rather them not be there. So therefore, only when something is actually wanted to be there, Rashi says that's when it's going to be a yad. But here, you specifically don't want it there. There's no reason that it should be a yad. So the Gemara says, Rav Nasha bar Gadda, Rav Huna says hakotz schach. He says similar halacha. Someone's cutting the grain for the purpose of using a schach. This is what I get back into schach now. Ein lo yad is also not a halacha of a yad as well. The straw is not going to be susceptible to tumah when you touch the bottom part, the lower part of the stalk. That would not be considered a part that is going to create tumah on the grain of the kernel. This is because the person also doesn't want that the kernels and the straws should be attached. So therefore, if you don't want them to be attached, then you touch one and touch the kernel, it shouldn't affect the kernel. So says the Gemara now, Mandamar Koter, Rav Menashe, who told us that Koter is the halacha is cutting grain for schach, and it doesn't have the halacha of a yad. So then Gemara says, Kol Shekin Botzer. Then he'll say, obviously, when it comes to a Botzer, why? Because clearly a person does not want these the grapes. He does not want the stems on the grapes when he's pressing for wine. However, Man Damar Botzer She'en Lo Yadus, when it comes to Rabbi Abba, he says the halacha only specifically, he mentioned this halacha by harvesting grapes, and they're not going to halacha of a handle. Maybe they'll say Kotzer Yesh Lo Yadus. Maybe he would argue that when Tom comes to cutting grain for schach, they really would have the halacha of a yad. Why? Because a person wants to cover the sukkah with these kernels because they shouldn't scatter. Apparently, they will still more in place. And therefore, it's something that would benefit him. And therefore, since it's benefiting him, maybe he would want it there. So therefore, it could be potentially that if you hold like that, if you hold like a rabba, then maybe you would hold that there really would be a reason to assume that there's a yad. The market is Neymar, the Rav Menashe bar Gadda Tznayim. So we assume that according to Rav Menashe bar Gadda, this is really machlokas tanaim. Tisanya, as we learn in the Braisa, soche teinim ubayin teinim. When you have fig branches and figs on them, parachil and ubayin an oven, if you have vines with grapes on them, kashin of emshibalim, you have straw with the grain on them, mechabdos ubayin tamarim, if you have palms with dates on them, kulanim sulas meruba ala ochlen ksher. All these cases, if you have more of the psulas, the bad parts of it, is greater than the actual edible parts of it, it's going to be kosher for the usage of schach. But if not, it's going to be pasul, because if it's mostly inedible, then it's not going to be shayach to become tameh. If it's mostly edible, then it is going to become tameh. However, Acherim say, Achi kashim rubin ayados vala ochlin, the invalid ones are going to be, for the regards to the straw, are going to be greater than that of the handles of the food. So Tanakama considers only the food portion unfit for use of schach because of its fact that it's shayach to tumah. However, achirim consider the yados also unfit. So the Gemara says, what's the machlokas? If even the yados are going to be considered unfit for achila, why is it? My love, back to Milfik, Lechora, they're arguing over the following. Achirim and the Tanakama. Mar Savar, that when it comes
comes to achirim, they're going to hold yesh lein yados. They're going to hold that when you have food with and you're cutting it for schach, he does have the lacha of yados, and therefore the handles also are going to be susceptible to tumah. However, marasavar ein lein yados, whereas the Tanakhama is going to hold that the one who's cutting for schach does not have the lachas of yados. So Rabbi Abba vadet tnahi. So according to Rabbi Abba in Echanan, we're saying that, yeah, we're agreeing that this really has to be machlokas tnahi, because according to Rabbi Abba, he says that only grapes are going to be harvested for pressing don't have the lachas of a yad, but the grain, we assume, according to Rabbi Abba, maybe really would have the lachas of a yad. So then it would come out according to him. How do you explain the Tanakhama? Since the Tanakhama clearly holds that when produce is used for schach, its stems are not considered yados, so how is he going to explain this? So according to him, it must be a machlokas tanaim. That's what we're stuck saying. So the Gemara says, however, the Menashe bar Gada mid lima tanaim, Rabbi Yashar bar Gada, maybe he's going to say that it's not a machlokas tanaim. Everyone's going to hold like him, that grain is not going to be shayach to the halachas of yados either. So Amar Lechar of Nashus is going to say Rakuli Alma Savrei Dakotz Schach Ein Lo Yados, like we just mentioned. Everyone's going to say that someone is cutting for the purpose of using schach is not going to be have the lachas of a yad in regards to tumah, because you don't want it there. Ideally, meaning there is a side purpose that maybe you did, but really you're separating it. So Hagamai Askina. So here, what are we dealing with in the Braisa? So Kigon Shekotzen Lachila, in a case where someone cut the produce for the purpose of eating it, and he's saying that you're then decided to use it for schach. There, the Tanakhama is going to understand that the produce doesn't have the lachas in regards to tuma, while the Achirim said it does have the lacha of yados. But when it comes to someone who's initially cut it, you know you're going to use it as schach, everyone's going to agree that there's no halachas of yados. The Gemara asks the question, is it really true though? If it's true that one's cutting the produce for the purpose of eating it, my time of the Rabbanon, so one in the world would there be the reason of the Tanakhama who said that they don't have the lachas of yados. This was clearly what he wanted it for, and how, what would be any reason to assume that it shouldn't be for, there should be a lacha of yados? So the Gemara says, you're going to say, Rabbanan say, someone decides to use them for schach, so your original thought of using it for food is going to be, you got rid of it, you negated it, and therefore there's no longer a lacha of yados. So the Gemara is saying, that's not true though. Tuma can be affected through just assuming a different machshava. That's the aleph beis of tuma. The Gemara is about to suggest that that's not true. That's not what we learn in the Mishnah in Kalim. The Mishnah tells us, Kol HaKalim, all of the Kalim, turning on to the next number now, Yordin Lidei Tuma B'machshava. They go down, they become susceptible to Tuma through a machshava, meaning that when it comes to, let's say, a person who's creating a Kli, so if it doesn't reach the final stage, it's not going to become Tame. However, if the guy making it is going to designate it as his usage, it's going to become at the finished product, he assumes that it is a finished product, then it would be subject to tumah already in its incomplete form. So the Gemara says that's already only b'machshavah, only if you think you're already going to use it for a different purpose, that something that's functional, that would make it tameh. However, ain't limit tumas and ela b'shin nemaisa, they do not come out from their tumah only through a physical change. You actually have to do something different. Rashi gives an example that if you have, for example, if you have someone who tans a piece of leather, so you plan on using it for a bed or something like that, but then he decides to use it for, I don't know, sandals, Rashi says, then you have to actually cut it. So then only for using it for that act of using a knife and cutting into the leather, showing that you're using it for straps, does that change its qualification and make it not susceptible to tumah yet. So you need a maisa though. So the Gemara says, machshava, Eina motzi lo midei maisa velo miyad machshava. Machshava does not remove it from original thought to say that it's a finished product. Or even that's a chiddush, even from an original thought to say that it's finished. You know what, actually I don't want it to be finished, I'm going to do it for something else. That will not change its status. And kol shekein, it's not going to, a maisa where I decided, I thought I was going to use it for the purpose of something that's finished, and I show that it's finished, then the machshava will not uproot that either. So now, when coming to our example here, we see that tumah is not going to be affected through machshava. So when someone is cutting the produce, which originally wanted to use it for food, the fact that you change your mind, you want to use it for schach, you can't do that. The chora, that's not going to be enough. So how is that possible? So the Gemara, you know what, the Gemara is going to have our richus over here, v'chitema, so we'll Be'ez Hashem, we'll pick up, we're right now in the middle of the Shiloh, but we'll pick up our v'chitema, Be'ez Hashem, in tomorrow's daf.